This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. When you say you're sorry to someone, how sincere are you? Are you sorry enough to truly change how you act? We'll talk about the real meaning of repentance on the program today. First, I need a word with my Father. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin today by noting that some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our new website address is www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact, no matter where you live. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is now www.visionforchristworld.com. And you can search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Why do people sin? It may be a lie to cover up another wrong they have done. It may be lust to obtain pleasure they feel they deserve. Anger is almost always a sin related to pride. Someone violates our supposed rights and we recoil and strike at someone like a snake attack. We steal because we convince ourselves that we should have things that we do not have the money to pay for. So we shoplift from a store or take something from a friend or relative that seems desirable. Each of these is a sin against God. Whether we are caught and brought before the courts of this world, we are always guilty before God. You have a debt before God, morally, and you owe Him confession and repentance. This means that you agree with God that what you did was wrong, and that with the help of God, you will not do this again, and that you are serious before God about avoiding this sin. The biggest sin is not receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Master, and your Savior. While you confess to God your lying and theft, confess to Him your disregard for God and your rebellion against Him. Confess your selfishness in wanting to live your life for yourself and your own desires and your ignoring of what God wants. If a lie you told to your wife or husband was found out, you were caught in your own lie, how sorry would you be? When you realize why you broke faith with a dear loved one, when you examine why you did not want to tell them the truth about something, so you made up a story, a lie, to save yourself some embarrassment or some awkwardness. Was it really worth the shame you feel when your loved one confronts you with your lie and the real reason you lied to them? You tell them you are sorry, but will you really change? Almost every bad thing we do to other people is also a sin against God, like lying, for example. We lie to cover up something we did that a friend or family member would not approve of or would not understand or agree with your reasons for doing what you did. Lying is often a secondary sin to cover up a primary sin, such as lying about your whereabouts to account for the time that you were with a lover committing adultery. Or it could be lying about money in the bank account as being from a bonus or overtime work when really it was from some illegal activity. Sometimes we say we're sorry, but we really mean we're sorry we got caught in a lie or caught in adultery or caught stealing. The Bible is clear that lying is a sin and is displeasing to God. The first sin in this world involved a lie told to Eve. The Ten Commandments given to Moses includes, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." That's Exodus 20:16. In the early church, in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira lied regarding a donation in order to make themselves look more generous than they really were. Peter's rebuke is stern. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? God's judgment was sterner. The couple died as a result of their sin of lying. Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Lying is listed in 1 Timothy 1:9-11 as something practiced by the lawless. Furthermore, liars will be among those judged in the end, Revelation 21:8. In contrast, God never lies, see Titus 1:2. He is the source of truth. It is impossible for God to lie, that's Hebrews 6:18. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, and he expects those who follow him to be people of truth. The truth is to be expressed in love, Ephesians 4:15, offering hope to those seeking redemption from the lies of the world. The dictionary definition of lust is intense or unrestrained sexual craving, or an overwhelming desire or craving of any kind. The Bible speaks of lust in several ways. Exodus 20:14 and 17, "Do not commit adultery, do not covet your neighbor's house, do not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else your neighbor owns." Or Matthew 5:28, "But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Job 31:11-12 sums up lust quite nicely. "For lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. It is a devastating fire that destroys to hell. It would wipe out everything I own." Lust has as its focus pleasing oneself, and it often leads to unwholesome actions to fulfill one's desires with no regard to the consequences. Lust is about possession and greed. The Christian faith is about selflessness and marked by holy living. Handling anger is an important life skill. Christian counselors report that 50% of people who come in for counseling have problems dealing with anger. Anger can shatter communications and tear apart relationships, and it ruins both the joy and health of many. Sadly, people tend to justify their anger instead of accepting responsibility for it. Everyone struggles to varying degrees with anger. Thankfully, the Word of God contains principles regarding how to handle anger in a godly manner and how to overcome sinful anger. Anger can become sinful when it is motivated by pride, James 1:20, when it is unproductive and thus distorts the purpose of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31, or when anger is allowed to linger, Ephesians 4:26. One obvious sign that anger has turned to sin is when instead of attacking the problem at hand, we attack the wrongdoer. Ephesians 4:15-19 says we are to speak the truth in love and use our words to build others up, not allow rotten or destructive words to pour from our lips. Unfortunately, this poisonous speech is a common characteristic of fallen man. Anger becomes sin when it is allowed to boil over without restraint, resulting in a scenario in which hurt is multiplied, leaving devastation in its wake. Often the consequences of out-of-control anger are irreparable. Anger also becomes sin when the angry one refuses to be pacified or holds a grudge or keeps it all inside. This can cause depression and irritability over little things, which are often unrelated to the underlying problem. We can handle anger by recognizing and admitting our prideful anger and our wrong handling of anger as being sin. This confession should be both to God and to those who we've hurt by our anger. We should not minimize the sin by excusing it or blame shifting. We can handle anger biblically by seeing God in the trial. This is especially important when people have done something to offend us. James 1, Romans 8, and Genesis 50 all point to the fact that God is sovereign over every circumstance and person that crosses our path. Nothing happens to us that he does not allow or cause. Though God does allow bad things to happen, he is always faithful to redeem them for the good of his people. God is a good God, see Psalm 145. reflecting on this truth until it moves from our heads to our hearts will alter how we react to those who hurt us. We can handle anger biblically by making room for the wrath of God. This is especially important in cases of injustice when evil men abuse innocent people. Genesis 50 and Romans 12 both tell us not to play God. God is righteous and just, and we can trust Him who knows all and sees all to act justly. See Genesis 18. We can handle anger biblically by returning good for evil. This is key to our converting our anger into love. As our actions flow from our hearts, so also our hearts can be altered by our actions. That is, we can change our feelings toward another by changing how we choose to act toward that person. Repentance is more than lamely saying, "I'll try to do better in the future." It is an intense sorrow for the hurt and wrong you have done to God, and your sincere need of God's help to take control of your whole life so you can live according to the will of God. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10 says this, "Now I rejoice not because you were made sad, but because you were made sad to the point of repentance. For you were made sad as God intended, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For sadness, as intended by God, produces a repentance that leads to salvation, leaving no regret, but worldly sadness brings about death." Now, let me pray for you, friend. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to actively repent of their sins, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God, through your only Son, Jesus. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the web address of Vision for Christ so you may contact us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for all people everywhere as they believe in Jesus. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our new website address is www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact, no matter where you live. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That new website address is www.visionforchristworld.com, and search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship. I will leave you today with this text from 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10. "Now I rejoice not because you were made sad, but because you were made sad to the point of repentance. For you were made sad as God intended, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For sadness, as intended by God, produces a repentance that leads to salvation, leaving no regret, but worldly sadness brings about death.